My name is Diane Marino, and I grew up in upstate New York. And 4 years ago, my husband and I moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
We travel for business. We travel for pleasure. We travel to expand our minds, whether it's one state over or halfway around the globe. If the world's a book, why only read one page? I'm Elizabeth Hill, and you're listening to a WAMC Northeast Public Radio production. This is Postcards from the Road.
I would say that growing up in upstate New York and exploring New England, I never thought I would see things like Pueblo cliff dwellings. There's a lot of Hispanic music. Oh, and the public radio station here switches to mariachi music.
We've talked about cultural differences abroad, but what about navigating cultural differences right here in the United States? After all, we do consider ourselves a melting pot, so it comes as no surprise that there are vast differences between the subcultures within the American society. Around 5 years ago, Diane Marino was caught in the nationwide cuts to public school systems. Being the most recent hire, even with 15 years' experience, her position was eliminated within a small rural upstate New York school district's music department. Immediately, she went on the hunt, and to her surprise, wound up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. This is episode 4, Northeast to Southwest.
My husband had been freelancing, and we needed one of us to have a permanent job. So he contacted the companies that he was freelancing for, and one of them hired him, and it was a job he was really looking forward to. So we moved here, and I started teaching out here. The weather here is amazing. It's sunny almost every day. There's a little bit of winter because we're at 6,000 feet. It's high desert. So it hardly ever rains. We get about 8 inches of rain a year, and it's just gorgeous all the time. Even in the winter, it's sunny, and it's beautiful. It's not like upstate New York where you don't see the sun for months.
I imagine there was a culture shock when you got out there.
The food is amazing. There's a New Mexico cuisine that's a combination of Hispanic and Native American cuisines that we love. There's tons of art, including public art. Everything in the city has sculpture or paintings or some kind of art everywhere you look. There's a great music scene, and the culture, it's very diverse here, and people in general seem to get along and be very friendly. There's a very large, visible homeless population, and there's a lot of crime, and there's a big drug problem. And coming from a small town where I knew everybody, that was tough to get used to for me.
What were the language barriers that you encountered?
One thing I noticed right away is that a lot of the signs in the city and like the signs on the buses and everything is in Spanish. The second time I showed up to sub, the principal said, "Okay, this is a dual language classroom." And I said, "The subsystem didn't say that the job was dual language. I don't speak Spanish." And she said, "Well, if we put in the subsystem that it was dual language, then nobody would take the job. But don't worry, they all speak some English. It'll be fine." And they did all speak some English, and they were lovely children, and I had a great day. But they are supposed to do half of their schoolwork in English and half of their schoolwork in Spanish. And the teacher had left me a math test to administer in Spanish. And one of the kids said, "Teacher, I don't understand this question." And I had to say, "Neither do I."
Did you ever feel at all isolated by the fact that many people, their first language was not one of your own?
I don't think I felt isolated, but I really want to learn it and understand it. It's a lot harder to learn a language when you're older.
I think they say the prime is when you're 4 and 5, you should start learning a second language.
Yeah, I keep trying to come up with Spanish phrases, and the French words that I learned in high school pop into my head. It's very frustrating. And then when I got my job teaching at my current school, about 96% of my students are Hispanic, and probably half of them speak Spanish at home. Mostly all my kids have decent English skills, so we can communicate. But many of the parents don't have a lot of English. And if I walk into the main office, the secretaries are talking. They're speaking Spanish to each other. Some of the EAs and our custodians and our cafeteria workers speak Spanish. So I've been taking private Spanish lessons this school year. And that's really helpful because when you use apps, you can learn how to order a beer in Spain, but you don't necessarily know how to tell your kids to come in and sit down and get out their instruments. So the ladies that I've been taking Spanish lessons from have been tailoring the lessons to my needs as an educator. So that's been pretty awesome.
What was it like switching from the New York State education system to the New Mexico education system?
That has probably been the biggest culture shock for me. I worked in very well-funded schools in New York State. They were fairly small schools comparatively. And when I got here, I started teaching for the Albuquerque Public School System, which is one of the largest school systems in the nation. There are 141 schools in the district, and they serve about 84,000 students. So I started teaching in an elementary school with a few buildings and then a lot of portable classrooms, like trailers. And, of course, it's a desert, so it's mostly on a dirt city lot. My classroom at school this year is a portable classroom. It's a trailer. I have a furnace and a swamp cooler, which is evaporational cooling. And the great thing about that is it humidifies the building when it cools because it sends water over like sheets of cardboard. And then as it evaporates, the cool air gets pumped into your house. You have to have a window or door open for it to work. So I love that so much more than air conditioning. It won't make your house as cold, but I hate the cold, so it's perfect for me. But right now the swamp cooler is broken. And all throughout the winter, every time it gets really windy, which is a lot here, the pilot light blows out on the furnace, and I have to light the pilot light the next morning. It's just completely different from anything I was used to. In New York State, the mandate is that students have elementary general music every year. And here, one of the things that shocked me was that as of about 21 years ago, they had cut the music and art programs out of the elementary schools altogether. And then they slowly built it back up to the point where in Albuquerque, the kids in grades K through 5 either get music or art every year. And the way they accomplished that in the almost 87, I think, elementary schools is they moved the music and art teachers from school to school. So when I got a job as an elementary music teacher, the expectation is that I'm itinerant. So one year I'm at one school and I teach the entire student body of that school. And then the next year an art teacher moves into that classroom and I move all my stuff and myself to another school and I have to start over with all new students. So this year I had about 550 students that I taught in my school. And that's really hard because it's really hard to get to know a new school, new teachers, and new kids every year. We have a lot of students who are in poverty, a lot of housing insecurity, a lot of foster children, a lot of children whose parents with one incarcerated parent. So it's a challenging population, but one thing I have always thought and is true here is kids are kids, and the kids are great, and I love teaching them. It's just a bigger challenge. I had only come here once to see if I liked the city well enough to move here when my husband was already working here. And so coming here has been quite the adventure. And we've been trying to take every opportunity we can to see things that we would not have normally gotten to see had we stayed in upstate New York. So we've been to the Four Corners, and we've been in caves, and we've been up mountains, and explored the desert, and we've seen a lot of the cultural things that are here, and that has been a wonderful part of living here.
If it was my first time out there, where would you take me?
I would take you to Bandelier National Monument, where the Pueblo dwellings are, the cave dwellings in the sandstone. Growing up in upstate New York and exploring New England, I never thought I would see things like Pueblo cliff dwellings. And the history and the culture and the fact that there's so much Native American presence, and it was Spain that colonized this part of the country, just makes it really different from the history and culture that I grew up with. I would definitely take you to the artistic parts of either Taos or Santa Fe, where you can go to the art galleries and explore. I would say Carlsbad Caverns is a great destination, and we're actually going there for the second time.
It's at this point in the podcast that I have to interrupt our usual listening pleasure to inform you that, yes, indeed, Diane and I know each other. I've actually been out to Albuquerque on a number of occasions. We've been over to Arizona to see the Grand Canyon, Santa Fe for the art scene, the petroglyphs, but by far, my favorite has to be the caves. And I could not talk to Diane today without reminiscing about our time in Big Skylight Cave.
If you were to go to any caves in the Northeast, they would be developed, and there would be railings, and there would be, you know, signs, and there would be, like, you couldn't just go exploring caves. But when we went to El Malpais and went in the caves, there was a little bit of a trail, right?
Yep.
And then we just went in the caves.
It was difficult to find the entrance to the caves because nothing's marked.
Yeah, it's completely undeveloped and wild. That was amazing.
I loved the sound when we were up there because it sounded like a six-lane highway because the wind was so crazy.
And oh, then yeah, it was windy that day.
The rocks under our feet were like pottery clinking together, like broken pieces of pottery clinking. And it was just the coolest sounds that I think I've ever heard.
I'd forgotten that part, and I'm the one who's supposed to think and sound. We turned a corner in the cave, and then we understood everything we had read on the internet about why we needed multiple sources of light. And we had our headlamps, we had helmets with headlamps, and we had flashlights. You disappeared into that crevasse.
Oh, yeah. That little tiny hole.
And you
hole.
Were, like, completely gone. And I thought Stephen should have been hanging on to your feet or something.
I didn't go too far because I didn't know where it went, and I didn't think that I would be able to turn around. I would love to go back and do another one. I think that's my goal.
Yeah, we only really explored one, and there are at least two more. Another great place to go here is Tent Rocks National Monument. It's like you've only ever seen in National Geographic magazine. It's amazing. The rocks have eroded into the shape of tents, and the colors are just amazing. So you can hike up a trail to a great view, but really what you're there to do is explore these rock formations that are like no place else.
That's so cool.
And they're huge. But that place is much more well-traveled, so that can be pretty crowded.
What kind of music scene differences are there?
My second year of teaching here, I was at a school where the night custodian was an amazing conga drummer and plays in a salsa band. And so he was would come by after school and teach me some drum stuff, which was really fun. And we went out to see the salsa band, and man, the people just love it. It's very popular here. There's a lot of Hispanic music. Oh, and the public radio station here switches to like mariachi music during the day after they run Morning Edition and the other daytime shows. So that was a little bit of a culture shock.
But how much do you miss WAMC?
Oh, I totally miss WAMC. Okay, here's what I miss from upstate New York besides my family and friends. Saratoga Apple, WAMC, and the Schuylerville Public Library.
Postcards from the Road is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. Our theme music is Kevin MacLeod's Cherry Blossom Wonders, and today's episode featured music by Jimmy Fontanez called Sneaky Bass Latina. As always, if you like what you hear, subscribe on your audio app of choice. Visit WAMCpodcasts.org for more information.